And we are going to turn to number 371, A Passion for Thee. 371.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on Thee and Thee only. Give me a thirst for the presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving Thee wholly. Purge me from earth, turn my heart after Thine. A passion for Thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul, and the thirst for my God. Hail Thou, my bread, Lord, my power in part, not just to serve, but to love Thee with all of my heart. Father, fill with Thy Spirit and fit me for service. Let love for Christ every motive inspire. Teach me to follow in self-submission. Be Thou my joy and my soul's one desire. A passion for Thee, O Lord, set a fire in my soul, and a thirst for my God. Hear Thou my prayer, Lord, my power in heart, not just to serve, but to love Thee with all of my heart.
Good. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You, Lord, for allowing us to get together again this evening. Father, we thank You for the safety with a little bit of a rainy afternoon that we had, for allowing us again. We love You, Lord. You've given us so much. You take care of us, Father, loving us more than the sparrow for whom You also provide. And Lord, with Your love for us, You meet our needs. And Lord, we thank You for that. We have an opportunity now, Lord, to give back to You. Pray that You would be honored and glorified with this. I pray that our attitudes would be right. Lord, You tell us in Your word that You love a cheerful giver. I pray that we would be cheerful, joyful to give back to You a portion of what You have so lovingly given to us. And we'll thank You for what You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you. what? You think of all the different lords we have in our life, right? All the different things that we work for, that we put as important, and we've got a lot of little lords, right? But above all, crown him Lord of all, maker of everything, master of everything, keeper of everything, right? And a passion for him. We sang that earlier. Now we're going to sing number 375, Oh, to be like thee. And, you know, Pastor was talking about putting, it's nice to go and thank people for what they do in the community, but furthering the gospel, the cause of Christ. Oh, to be like thee. We hear so much in society today about having our voice heard, people seeing us. They want to be recognized as individuals. But that's not Bible. Bible is, for a Christian, a little Christ, when people look at us, we should be a reflection of our Lord and Savior. And so as we sing this song, number 375, Oh, to be like thee, that should be our desire. Oh, to be like thee. So when people look at us, they see a reflection of the Lord Jesus. All right, go ahead and stand, and we will sing this 375.
Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of life's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender, the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive thy wisdom divine. All that I am and have, I am bringing, Lord, from this moment. Thy Spirit, fill with thy love, make me a temple meet for thy dwelling, fit me for life and heaven above. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, clear as thou art.
Good singing tonight.
All right.
You can have a seat.
Good singing tonight. Oh, passion for thee and oh, to be like thee. We'll take just a few minutes here. We are in Missions Month. Missions Conference is upon us. Really, the next two Sundays will be more mission weeks with our Missions Conference, as well as the TACLOVs being with us that first Sunday in October as our own deputation from the Philippines. And I hope you're making plans to attend. If right now you say, you know what, I'd love to be there, just it's not going to work out. I've got work. What would you pray about it before you make that decision? Would you take it to the Lord? Lord can do anything, all right? He can change schedules. He can allow things to happen. He can change ball games. He can change, you name it. He can do it. It's okay if you can't, but why don't you do everything you can to exhaust all possibilities as you take it to the Lord before making that final decision about being here or not being here each and every evening, all right? What I want to do real quick is just profile some missionaries, all right? Now, again, many of you have been with IBC for many years, and so some of you are familiar with two or three of these missionaries, all right? Others may be fairly new and may not have met any of these. I found three vintage pictures of two of the Nairs, G.S. and his family from many years ago, and one of Don Kilmer and his wife. Put them back on that little table there in the back. So as you slip out, I'll try to remind you just to take a look at that. And so let me just give you quick profiles for our missionaries. That way that you can be prepared as they come to pray for them, to know them, to minister to them, to encourage them, and do all that you can do to be a blessing to their family. So again, you may already have a little missionary bulletin. So G.S. Nair. G.S. Nair is coming by himself. He's flying in late Tuesday night. He's got to fly out early Friday morning. His wife has had Parkinson's for many years. She's not able to do many things health-wise. His children are all pretty much grown, married, and so he does a lot of traveling by himself. And he's flying in. He's got to be down in Texas later on Friday. And so pray for G.S. Nair. He is a native to India, has been ministering and serving the Lord in India for many, many years. I was looking back on the records here, and here's the first record we have with IBC. July 3rd. 1981. You can see if you were here and remember that, all right? Now that's the date of the letter. Dear Dr. Long, this was a pastor from Albany, New York, from Dr. Cremart. I really enjoyed G.S. Nair during his stay with us. He's a good man, and I'm sure the work in India will advance because of him. As you know, he was with me till Sunday, and he gave his testimony during the service, had a question and answer period during Sunday school. I kept him active while he was here visiting and with a Saturday evening baptismal service. Yep, that's it, a Saturday evening baptismal service. In all, we traveled over 600 miles during his stay. Enclosed are some books that he requested. You may tell him that some support from the church will be coming. As to the amount of support, that has not been determined yet. The people were very interested in the work there in India. And so there's the first correspondence there when G.S. came and the church began to think about taking him on. Here's the second correspondence. This is November 9th, 1982. This is sent from India to Dear Brother Al. The only thing I want to say in there, and some of you will get a kick out of this, it says, please convey our love to your wife and children. Please do tell your wife this time, surely I will bring some elephants for her. I thought that was interesting, if you know her elephant collection, if you've been there. And then this one is dated September 21st, 1982. This is from Pastor Long up in Albany, New York. Dear Pastor Cremard, Brother G.S. Nair, our missionary in India, will be coming to the States at the end of October for 3 months. I'd like you and your people to have the opportunity of meeting and hearing him while he's here. Brother Nair is the best example of a native missionary I know. I have been to India, and I know the work he is doing. He loves the Lord and is committed to serving the Lord among his own people. He will thrill the hearts of your people and burden them for the cause of missions as he preaches the word of God and tells them of the great need of the gospel in India. I would like to schedule him to be with your church Sunday, November 27th, 1982. You will find Brother Nair a humble, loving, dedicated servant of the Lord, and I'm sure you will be glad you did not let this opportunity slip by. That's been over 40 years. And man has faithfully been serving the Lord. Oh, he's not perfect, but it's a blessing and refreshing to hear someone that's been faithful to that which the Lord has called him to do, despite no doubt many challenges, despite his wife's health, and yet is still sticking by the stuff until he can no longer do it or someone else calls him. So G.S. Nair, I encourage you to be here. He will only be with us Wednesday and Thursday, during the missions conference. Don Kilmer. The Kilmer, Don and his wife, Sue. I should know more about them because they are from my part of Pennsylvania. Their home church is Mountain View Bible. They're in Hummelstown. My mom is from Hummelstown. My youngest sister graduated from Mountain View back when I had a Christian school. This is Pastor Norman Marks. Many of you know Pastor Norman Marks. He has been up here, a good friend of Pastor Cremard's. In fact, Cremard's were at Mountain View today, and Don Kilmer preached this morning. All right, you can watch it online. I was listening to it before the service. And of course, now it's pastored by Bill Fonmiller, who this church has supported and who graduated from my Christian school, as well as his wife. So a lot of connections there, but I can't remember if Mount Calvary, the church I grew up, supported the Kilmers or not. I'm almost confident they did, but it's been many years that I have seen any of them. And so they are ministering in South Africa, primarily to the Zulus. Sometimes we hear about that and we think that's sort of just something made up, but they primarily minister to the Zulus in South Africa. Well, IBC began supporting them in 2010, 2011. So about 12 or 13 years. I'm not sure the last time that he or his wife have been here, but again, they're here only because Don's sister, who was a faithful pastor's wife in York, PA, passed away recently. And so they are here in the States for about a month. So he is coming on his own. Jim and Pat Fry. I'm starting with the first three missionaries because those are ones that we support as a church. Jim and Pat, of course, are fairly new to our missionary family, ministry family. Just been with us now about 2 years. Although in the last few years, many of you have had a chance to meet them. They've been here at the church. You've been at some of the men's retreats, some of the ladies' conferences, some of the different things. Our teens, obviously, at winter retreats and camp. And so they also hail from my area, Elizabethtown, PA. Our family has known the Fries probably since I was a wee lad. And I think I first met them in fourth or fifth grade. And the Fries were my youth leaders in 7th and 8th grade at Mount Calvary. He was then my youth pastor from 9th through 12th grade, as well as my younger sister. He was the youth director at Faith Bible Church there in Mount Joy, where you ladies go on your conference. He was the youth pastor there from 1987 to 2002. Doing that on the side. He also had his own business, all right? Both Jim and Pat knew each other as teens. Both grew up on farms, different farms there in the area. They have three children. Brother Fry ran a feed store for many, many years. In fact, he ran that up to 2001. Still there in E-Town. We can drive by it, all right? It's the same name. He owned that for many, many years. However, he felt called and burdened to start a camp. Him and Pat loved teens. They felt called for many years, just weren't sure about doing it. So on a step of faith, he sold his business, and they stepped out in complete faith to begin a camp. No property, no anything. And so Servant's Heart now is over 20 years old. As many of you may or may not know, they did not have their own property for many, many years. They started off at Liberty Bible Camp right outside York, PA for many years. They rented that until that had to, that something happened, and they rented a camp in Hughesville. They're going to head that way, 118 as you're going into Williamsport. They rented a little camp in Hughesville for a year or two, and they spent many years looking for a camp. They almost bought property in Lake Winola. Some of you know that story. God shut the door there on that. They thought they had that in the contract signed, and they were discouraged, but God provided over 200 acres in Ramey. Ramey is about 45 minutes from Penn State State College, and they have been there now, I'm trying to remember the first year they went over there. I guess it's probably been 10 years or more that they've been there. I'm sure they'll let us know about that. And so obviously they have a camp that ministers to all ages, families, young adults, young at heart, senior saints. And so we're thrilled to have them as part of our missionary family. And then finally, the last two are missionaries that I've never met or people involved, and I don't believe anybody here has. Dr. and Mrs. Brent Smith, he is the Vice President of Church Mobilization with International Partnership Ministries. That's a mission board out of Hanover, Pennsylvania, down below Gettysburg. And I don't know much about, I don't know if they've been missionaries before. I don't know how long they've been part of that mission board. I know that mission board is about 41 years old, and so he's going to be coming. He'll be our opening speaker on Wednesday night, and looking forward to having them here. And then finally, Stephen Barrett. Stephen Barrett is an engaged young man. So is he single still? I guess he is, all right? He's engaged, and I went on the BIMI website, and if you've never been on mission board websites, you need to do that. Most mission boards will have profiles of their missionaries. They will have missionaries on deputation if you would like to contact them. They will have things about all across the world, countries, how you can give, how you can serve. Some mission boards have their own mission trips you can go on. I mean, that's a vast thing that many people never look at. Mission boards, good fundamental mission boards. And so if you go on the BIMI, here's what it says. Stephen Barrett and his fiance Abby Miller. Has a picture of both of them for those who like that kind of stuff, all right? Stephen Barrett and Abby Miller met briefly in February 2022, for all those inquiring minds. They met at a missions conference that he attended. A month later, they met again at another missions conference in Texas, where the Lord began to put an interest in Stephen's heart for Abby. After praying for 30 days each of them, they began to start a friendship that led to a courtship. While Abby was visiting Stephen's family, who are missionaries in Brazil and Kentucky, he proposed. They were officially engaged March 1st, 2023, not that long ago. They're getting married in November 30th, just a few months from now. And then they will finish their deputation together. Stephen and Abby plan to be in Brazil by mid-2024. Between both of their families, they have seven generations of missionary service. Wow, that's quite a heritage. Seven generations of going back. All right. And they realize what a great heritage God has given them. They both love music, ministry, people, literature, and the mission field. Their purpose is to serve the Lord together in Brazil to the best of their abilities, as long as God allows. Stephen feels a particular burden for the deaf in Brazil, and they are praying that God will open specific doors in that area. They cannot wait to see how God guides and directs in their lives. There you go. Now, you don't have to ask him all the questions about his fiance. All right. You can walk up and say, "How's that wedding?" He'll say, "What? What are you talking about?" All right. And so there's your profile. Are you praying for him? What are the challenges of traveling by yourself? What are the challenges when your wedding's coming up pretty soon? What are the challenges of serving the Lord for many years, but now your wife's not able to, G.S. Nair? What are the challenges of being a mission board director? You know, what are those challenges? Each one of these are just normal people just like us. They pay bills, and they have health issues, they've got family things, finances, except they've answered the call for whatever God has called them to. They've taken a step of faith, and they're serving the Lord, both young and old, and we have the privilege to host them. The Missions Conference is not just for us. It's for us not just to hear from them and say, "All right, what do you guys have? Hope you're good speakers. I hope you're able to do a good..." No, it's for us to be a blessing, to encourage them, to leave a mark in their lives. We may never see them again. They may never see us again. All right. And we have the privilege to host them and to emphasize missions as a local church. Okay. All right.
Jesus walked this lonesome valley. He had to walk it by himself. Oh, nobody else could walk it for him. He had to walk it by himself. Jesus suffered shame and sorrow. He had to suffer by himself. Oh, nobody else could share it with him. He had to suffer by himself. We must walk this lonesome valley, but he is walking by our side. Oh, never alone in this dark valley, for he is walking by our side. Oh, never alone in this dark valley, for he is walking by our side.
Amen. Thank you for that. All right, we're going to dismiss our Tykes for Truth with my wife. And is this the double Sharons tonight? All right, Sharon 1, Sharon 2 back there. Good to see Miss Sharon Kempa with us here. Second graders and down, head on out. And they're going to hear some truth tonight. Moms and dads, ask them after the service. What'd you learn? What was the lesson about? And talk about that on the way home and encourage them in the Lord. If you'll pull your Bibles out, find your place to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13 tonight. Acts chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a pew Bible pretty close to you there. And you can turn to page 1548 in your pew Bible, 1548. If the book of Acts is one that you are not familiar with, and rather than flipping lots of pages, Acts 13 here tonight. Acts 13, long title for the message, the first foreign mission trip and the first missions conference. All right, we're going to take a quick break from the book of Jude. We'll pick that back up on two Sundays from now, and we'll do that on the evening of October 1st. The Tack Clubs are with us in the morning for Sunday school Sunday morning, but we'll resume our study in Jude after that. All right, Lord, emphasizing my heart, just missions, keep that on the forefront, or keep it on the burner, keep that hot as missions conference is upon us, and then we'll get back to the book of Jude in about 2 weeks. Acts 13, the first foreign mission trip and the first missions conference. Now, we're not here to debate about schematics and say the first foreign mission trip was the Lord Jesus Christ leaving heaven. I hope you're not one of those loves to argue and debate about everything. I'm not here to do that, all right? Well, what about the disciple, blah, 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 blah. All right, we're looking at, once the church began, what we would consider the first foreign mission trip and the first missions conference. We're in Acts 13 tonight, and we're just going to simply look at some timeless truths, I think, that we can pull out of several passages. We'll only be in the book of Acts. We'll be looking a little bit in 12, some in 13. Actually, we'll look a little bit in 11. But we'll only be 3 or 4 pages. We won't be turning all over the place tonight. So let me encourage you to flip with us. It'll be easy to find. And I hope these will be helpful as it comes to Missions Conference, which is upon us. Let's read the first 5 verses of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. Normally, I have you sit. How about standing tonight out of respect for the Word of God? And also, we'll let you stretch your legs just a little bit. You've been sitting for a little while. So Acts chapter 13. I'll read the first 5 verses, and we'll have a word of prayer, and then you can have a seat. You follow along with me as I read out loud. Acts 13, we'll read the first 5 verses. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, such as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, we'll know him better as Paul. And they ministered to the Lord, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. And they had also John, we know him better as John Mark, to their minister. Father, I pray as we look in your word tonight in the book of Acts, open our hearts to the truths that are in here concerning missions, concerning soul winning. Lord, I pray each one of us would be fervent about doing the master's business in the area of souls. Speak through me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may have a seat there. The first foreign mission trip and the first missions conference. All I want to do tonight, I'm just going to cover, depending how far we get, we're going to keep it a little shorter tonight. Missions conference is a busy week and allow you to be able to get home. Obviously, some of the teens need to practice some music, but get a good night's rest and get ready to go and be prepared for the missions conference. If you're taking notes, it could be a challenge. My points tonight are all about a short sentence, all right? But these are some truths I think we can draw from the scripture passages here concerning missions and soul winning. Missions and soul winning. All right, number one, the local church should always be a sending church. The local church should be a sending church. Did you see that right there? Look at chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church, that is a local assembly that met in the city of Antioch. And it's, what does it say about them? Verse 3, and when they is not Paul, I'll call him Paul so we don't have any confusion. His name is not changed yet to Paul, but they in verse 3 is not Barnabas and Saul. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, now the them is Barnabas and Saul, they would be the church or the church leaders. So who sent them out? It says the local church sent them out on this mission trip as directed by the Holy Spirit, verse number 4. The local church should be a sending church. Every missionary that we support has a home church. Almost every mission card, if you look at it, it might say their sending church or their home church is this. Don't you long for the day when we can have quite a few missionaries and their home mission church, their sending church, is Independent Bible Church of Duryea? Well, it doesn't mean that we're not doing what God wants. That doesn't mean we're comparing numbers with numbers. But boy, I hope that would be a goal of ours. Say, Lord, send out of this church missionaries that are ours, that we can be the sending church. Should be a sending church. Absolutely. The Bible says they sent them away. Verse number 3. The goal of the church is not to be a gathering church. And just to gather, increase numbers. Be like, whoo, look at this church. What? Sorry. It's to be a sending church. As much as we love to have lots of people. Can I say this, parents? It's our goal as well. Our children are not ours. They're the Lord's. It's not just to say, I want to keep them my whole life and keep them at home. That's going to flavor your philosophy and your child rearing. It's these are the Lord's. Use them for your honor and glory, Lord. Whatever that may be, may you get the glory. And if you want to, oh, praise God, there could be no higher honor if that's what God wants. The local church should be a sending church. Number two, I think we see, each believer should be actively serving the Lord in their local church. Now, did you notice Barnabas and Saul? Did you notice what it said there? It says in verse 1, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain, and it names a group of men. But out of that group of men, not all of them were called. It says there were two specifically, verse number 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. I believe that's the entire group there of the men that were mentioned in verse number 1, and probably many others. As they ministered and served the Lord in their local church, in their local city, and as they fasted, I don't think that meant all the time, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. I want to focus, it says, as they ministered. As they ministered. I don't believe the Lord really calls those who aren't ministering. We might think so, but you know, you go through your Bible and you look at those that got, look at the disciples, look at those. They were fishing. Moses was keeping sheep. David was shepherd. I mean, these weren't people that were sitting around lazy. These are, now it may not have been, we said that keeping sheep wasn't serving the Lord, but God doesn't use lazy people. Doesn't mean we can't change. We can be, by God's help and the Word of God, go from being a lazy person or a slothful person, or as Proverbs says, a sluggard. But notice, they were actively serving and ministering in their local church. In fact, let's look a little bit more about that. Go back to chapter 11, Acts 11, just a page or two over, and look at verse 25, 26. Acts 11, 25 and 26. It may seem glamorous to go on mission trips. It really does. You're going to see, if G.S. Nair shows you things from India, we see things from South Africa, we see things from Brazil. We saw this morning, Charlie did a great job in Sunday school, Brazil. I mean, when that was over, you know what everybody should have been doing? I want to go to Brazil. Man, let's go to Brazil. Man, I want to go right now. Let's go. When G.S. Nair gets done, we ought to say, let's go to India. When Brother Kilmer gets done, we should all be saying, let's go to South Africa. I mean, that should be within our heart. Oh, man, I want to go. I want to serve the Lord. And I've had the privilege to go on 8 mission trips as a youth pastor and as not a youth pastor. All kinds. I've been on men's work teams. I've been on a sports mission trip. I've been with teens. I've been in the, you know, in the mountains in the orphanage. I'm nothing special. We've taken teens every few years. I've stayed in nice places and I've slept outside. All right. Now I've been in really fancy places with hot water and I've had cold water. We've eaten good. We've not eaten so good. All right. I've had interpreters. I've got to preach in different things. We've done programs and all kinds of things. I love mission trips. I've surrendered to missions. God has not ever yet called me to that specifically or said to go. I would be thrilled. I'd be nervous. I'd be scared. I've been to many missions conferences. I praise the Lord for a church growing up that emphasized missions. It had missions conferences. It had missionaries all the time in the Sunday school classes and things just like IBC does. I praise the Lord for missions. They kept it hot at Pensacola Christian College when I was there. And missions conferences and missionaries, the mission prayer band. And I'm thankful that the church at Temple there and other churches we've been to, missions conference for every year. And I'm thankful that the missionaries were in our Christian school all the time. I mean, I had them in Bible class. They were in Spanish. They were in history. They were in science. They're in the chapels. They eat. Missions. Absolutely. Keep it hot. I'm glad for that. But I want you to notice, it may seem glamorous. And many times people, if we say we're going on a mission trip to Switzerland, whoo, wait, you see that list. All right. Hey, we're going to go to Australia. Oh, let's do it. All right, it's not a vacation. This isn't sightseeing. These aren't anniversary trips. This is serving the Lord. But they can seem very glamorous. And it can seem pretty cool. Hey, God separated Barnabas and Saul. Woohoo! But I want you to notice what they did for a year or more before that.
They were actively serving the Lord exactly where he put them. Right where he put them. Acts chapter 11, verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year, one whole year, Barnabas and Saul assembled together themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples, the followers, were called Christians first in Antioch. That's not easy work. That's not glamorous. That's not showing you the, let's look at the scenicness and the mountains and the waterfalls of South Africa. Whoa. Let's look at the wildlife and the food. This is 1 year laboring among believers in Antioch. And let me tell you, if you've never discipled people, you'll know that's not easy. This is preaching, this is teaching, this is assembling with them, this is probably long hours, this could be every single day, teaching the Word of God and discipling and building a church for the Lord. Whew. Now we go to chapter 13, it says, they're still in Antioch, they're serving the Lord there, verse 2, they are just simply ministering. Hey, if the bathroom needs clean, clean the bathroom. If they need to teach a class, they teach a class. If they need to help with this, they help with this. They are actively serving the Lord. Every believer should be actively serving and ministering in their local church, and that should be right now. Absolutely. Got to do that. And usually from that group are the ones that God specifically calls. Number three, God does not call all of us to foreign missions, but he is still calling, and many are not answering. Well, you can see right here from the text how many names were mentioned in verse 1 of Acts 13. Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manon, Saul. Five names. How many people were called and sent? Two. Two. So God doesn't call every single person to foreign missions. But he does call. And he is still calling. And many are not answering that call. But notice these two men answered the call as they were simply serving however God wanted to use them, right where God put them in Antioch. And I guarantee they were probably content there. This is where God, man, God's doing a mighty work here. This is exciting. Antioch was the crossroads of the really the continent. I mean, it was a melting pot. Antioch, that was the headquarters of the church in the book of Acts after it moved out of Jerusalem. I mean, all kinds of people, Jews and Gentiles and Romans and Greeks. I mean, it was a metropolitan, and that's where they were first called Christians. I mean, God was doing a mighty work there, and they were serving, and maybe they were content, and yet God said, no, I want those two men specifically. I have a specific calling for those two men. And it says, separate me them for the work whereunto I have called them. Now, all of us are called. All of us are called to serve. All of us are called, I believe, to be soul winners. All of us, the Great Commission, we looked at that. But not everybody's called to foreign missions. Not everybody's called to leave their home, their city, their family. But many are, and there are many who do not answer that. Number four. The primary goal of missions, I believe, I hope you believe, the primary goal of missions is to preach the gospel, plant churches, and disciple believers. And by the way, anytime you want to support a missionary or look at a mission board, that's what you need to look at. Look at their history, look at their purpose, look at their goals, look at their doctrine, look at their purpose. What is it for? The primary goal of mission should be to preach the gospel for the salvation of souls, plant churches, and disciple believers. I mean, that's the Great Commission. And by the way, that's what I would assume. It doesn't mean every single missionary. Sometimes you have to drop some missionaries. Sometimes missionaries change, just like you and I change. Sometimes mission boards change, and you have to change mission boards. They maybe don't hold by the stuff anymore, or they compromise, or they change some things, doctrine. But the primary goal of missions is to preach the gospel, plant churches, disciple believers. Well, let's find out. Let's take a look at this first mission trip. What happened? Verse 3, chapter 13. Follow along. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them. That would be the church. They sent them, Barnabas and Saul. They sent them away. So verse 4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. So notice who really called and sent them. The Holy Ghost. God did. They departed unto Seleucia. By the way, most everybody here has a Bible that has maps in the back. Even the cheapest Bible and the most basic will have one or two normally, and almost always include Israel during the time of Christ and Paul's missionary journeys. If you have a study Bible, you have many maps. I hope that you look at those. Those are important to understanding the Bible. Any serious student of the Word of God will look at those maps, and you ought to look at Paul's missionary journeys. All right? You'll see the first one, usually it's a different color. It's not that far. It's a shorter missionary trip. Boy, then you look at that second mission trip. Whoa. Then you look at that third mission trip. Whoa. And then the fourth one, which they sometimes call it that, it is. That's when he's arrested and he's having to go to Rome. All right? But take a look at the cities and places they went. You're going to see exactly where they traveled, who they hit, how far they traveled and distance. Don't think all those numbers are boring. Take a look at the scale that says a half an inch equals 60 miles. Put that on there and see how far they traveled in a boat. See how long that was. See the foot travel. Whoa, this wasn't glamorous. This wasn't easy. How did they support themselves? What did they do? What was that like? And you're going to see that's pretty amazing. It says they went to Cyprus. Well, guess why they went to Cyprus? It's right off the coast, but guess who's from Cyprus? Barnabas. Go back and read about Barnabas. Barnabas was from Cyprus. All right? Wouldn't you say, hey, if we're going this way, my people are there, my family. Well, let's do a work right there. That's where I have a lot of family there. Let's preach the gospel. And did they do that? Verse number 5. And when they were at Salamis, that's a city in Cyprus, they preached the word of God. They preached the word of God. Look at verse 38. Verse 38, same chapter. Look at 13:38. Flip that page perhaps. 13:38. Paul's message, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Look at verse 49, verse 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Look at chapter 14, verse 3, 14, verse 3. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord. Wow. How about 14:19? Oh, I don't know if I have the right one there. 14:7, and there they preached the gospel. Wow, what was their goal? Preaching the gospel. Jesus Christ. Christ saves. You're a sinner. Salvation through the cross. They preached the gospel. You can see later in chapter 14, we'll look at that. They planted churches. They established pastors and spiritual leaders. And they discipled believers. Wow, that's the goal of missions, all right? Number five, make sure we understand these truths. There's always going to be opposition to biblical missions and soul winning. Always, always, always. Everybody needs to understand that from the get-go. Everybody needs to know that, and missions 101, soul winning evangelism 101. There will always be opposition. So don't ever quit. There will always be opposition. The goal of the devil is always to just make you stop. So could I ask you again, what has made you stop perhaps? Was there a time when you were a soul winner and you aren't anymore? Was there a time where your soul did burn hot for the souls of lost people? What stopped you? What's changed? Something probably did. That's always the goal. Is there any opposition? Of course, you can go through the whole book, but let's just look at a few here. Let's look right at the beginning. As soon as they get over to Cyprus, look at chapter 13, verse number 8. Chapter 13, verse number 8. They're preaching the gospel. They're there doing a great work. But it says, but Elymas, the sorcerer. Oh, a sorcerer. A magic man. A voodoo man. Someone who is with the occult, magic. Usually that word is pharmaceutical, the drugs. It's someone that's got some power through sorcery and magic. He's on the island. He doesn't like it. Says verse 8, he withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy, that's the government official, from the faith. There will always be opposition. There will be friends who will try to turn them and not have them listen to you. There will be family who will say, get out of there. That's a cult. They're dangerous. There will be coworkers. You need to understand that they're going to try to shut you down. They're going to threaten. They may bully. They may you. Now, you might lose your job. You might. It depends how far you want to go in your faith in the Lord. But there's going to be opposition. Most of the time, you don't have to go that far. A couple threats usually knock most people out of the game. A couple threats. Don't you ever do that again. And then they stop. You know, just a couple. I mean, look, if we said 50 people go out in soul winning. Now, we average about 2 here when we go out. We average about 2 or 3. If we had 50 go out, let me tell you what probably happened. The very first house you might knock on could be Mr. Bully. and threaten and curse you, and you're like, I'm never doing that again. Just what they wanted to do. Great, great. You get somebody that is a brilliant philosopher of doctrine, of ministry, and they twist everything, and you come out looking like you're not even saved. You're like, that was a horrible experience. I'm quitting. Just what the devil wants. Faint-hearted people who aren't really in it for God. There's always going to be opposition. You go through the book of Acts, and we don't have time to look at all the different verses. Whether it's a sorcerer who tried to keep the man from the faith. Whether it was, let's take a look at one or two more here very quickly. Whether it is, let's go to verse 45 toward the end of the chapter. Verse 45 of chapter 13. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Whoa. How about verse 50? But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecutions against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. You know what that means? Sometimes you even go to government officials and you get the government officials able to power to do things to mess, get with you. You do that, we're going to close your church down. You do that, oh my goodness. And there's going to be opposition. There always is. All right, the devil doesn't just sit by idly, all right, when the gospel is preached and souls are being saved and he's losing people out of his kingdom. And you can see it again and again and again. The question is, why are you in it? Don't let it stop you. Don't let it stop you. Go into it expecting it. Go in being prepared for it. It'll help you understand it takes humility. You better be praying. You better go in the power of the Holy Spirit, because if you do it on your own, it'll take just one knockout punch and you'll never do it again. One person who come. I remember being in eighth grade. Brother Fry was our youth leader. We were going out before church as a youth group, going right below Mount Calvary right there. Big development. We were giving out tracts. I was not walking with the Lord in eighth grade. I was a rebel. I just went along because my buddies were going along. I had no burden for souls. We didn't even pass out that many tracts. My shame. We stopped at a buddy's house who went to our school, hung out in there, got some food, gave him a bunch of the tracts, threw a bunch away. I said to my shame. However, we still hit some doors. All right. Remember going up right toward the end. We went up to this guy. He'd just gotten home. He walked in. Me and another guy, we knocked up on the door. We were just going through the motions. We weren't really blah, blah, blah. All right. I mean, the guy tore into us. I mean, he was letting it blankety blank blank. I mean, he was just, I mean, all barrels loose, cussing, get off the property, yelling. I mean, we were just like, whoa. All right. So, and I remember one of the youth guys came up, sir, get off. All right. Man, that's been a long time ago. I remember that. All right. Now, I wasn't even soul winning for the Lord. I was just there. All right. But I'll tell you what. Now, in all the years I've done soul winning, I think that's only ever happened probably less than five times ever. In several different churches, including college and all over. I can only remember two or three occasions where someone has just, get off my property. I'm calling the police. You, I don't want to see blah, 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 blah. Now, it happens. Absolutely does. All right. Absolutely does. All right. And it's going to happen. But you can't let that make you quit if you're in it for the right reason, all right? Later on in chapter 14, Paul gets stoned. Now, that would stop most people from going out soul winning. If you went out in Duryea and they said, Pastor, my phone, you need to come up here real quick here. Right off rear Constitution, we were saying hi to Pat and them. We were going to sit by Jane's house. Guy got ticked. I mean, just, it's awful. I mean, he came out with bats. They threw stuff. He pulled out his gun. He shot him. They ran over his body. I say, that's what you're making up. No, it's serious. Now, that probably would shut down a lot of soul winning ministries. If I said, well, we're still going to go again next week. Anybody going? We're going to go by that same corner. Oh, I mean, they stoned him to death. And yet it says he got up miraculously by the Lord. Some believe he did die. He's kept on going. Whoa. There's going to be opposition to preaching and soul winning. Don't let it stop you. Number six, not all will receive the gospel and be saved. Do we understand that? Now, that ought to break our heart. We don't go in negative. We don't walk in saying, well, we're going to go out today, and it's going to be a waste of time. Nobody comes to doors anyways. We knock on 100 doors. You get like three people that open it. Two of them are cooking, and they can't come. And the other one is already gone. There's no point. Oh, no, nobody wants to talk and blah, blah, blah. It's no point. It never works anyways. Whoever comes, not all are going to receive the gospel and be saved. But we should never give up on them, but we do need to move on to the next person. I think you see that from the Gospels where the Lord sent out the disciples two by two, the 70, right? Go into the city, go into the village, preach the gospel. If they won't respond, they won't shake the dust off, go to the next one. That doesn't mean you never go back there. It doesn't mean you don't have a heart for those people. It doesn't mean you give the gospel to a coworker and they get mad that you never ever give the gospel again. It doesn't mean that. You don't give up. You continue to pray. You look for opportunities. But you also need to understand that not everybody's going to receive the gospel. Not everybody's going to be open to it. Not everybody's going to be saved. That there are people who are looking and searching. And though you will keep an open door to those people, there are many others who also are ready to receive the gospel. Continue going on to them. I think you'll see that there in verse 51 of Acts 13. Look at Acts 13, 51. This talks about the Jews were stirring up the people, verse 51, but they shook off the dust off their feet against them and came unto Iconium. Fine, we're going to go to the next city. We're going to go to the next city then. They rejected us here. We're going to go to the next one. We'll go to the next one and we're going to keep on going. All right. Why? Because we were given a commission. That's why. We were given a commission. And there was nothing in there about quitting. We're going to obey the Lord. Number 7, and we must finish up here quickly. A good missionary and soul winner must be resilient. And you must be in it for the right reason. Or any type of failure or opposition will cause you to quit. Any good missionary or a soul winner must be resilient. And you've got to be it. You say, what's the right reason? For God, the commission He gave us, and the souls of men and women. Eternity matters. So if that's my foundation, and it doesn't, not you said, Lord, nothing's going to cause me to quit. Doesn't matter if I mean, come on, folks. Have you never read Adoniram and Ann Judson when they went to Burma? Wouldn't you think the day you get to go to the mission field would be so exciting? I mean, do you imagine that? You leave your home, you get to the foreign country. There's all kind of emotions. You're excited, you're thrilled, you're pumped up, you're excited. God's going to do a great work. How long would you and I last? It was what? 8 years. 8 years. Till there was one convert in Burma. 8 long, exhausting years. You want to talk about getting discouraged? Read the opposition from the city, the religious leaders. Read about some of these missionaries who had spouses die, who had children die, who buried 4, 5, 6 children on the mission field. And yet, they were in it for the Lord Jesus Christ. God, this is what you called us to do. We're not going to quit despite whatever may happen. Wow, we've got to do it for the right purpose. I've got 3 left. I think I can cover them very quickly here. Number 8, salvation is only the beginning of being a soul winner, a missionary. Discipleship is vital. We covered that this morning. I won't belabor that there. But go to chapter 14. Take a look toward the end. We'll be in the end of chapter 14 here as we finish. Take a look at the end of chapter 14. Salvation is only the beginning of being a soul winner or missionary. We cannot be content with just having somebody pray a prayer, walk an aisle, and then just be a number, and that's it. Because remember, the Bible says that they are now what? A baby in Christ. What kind of person will we be if we birthed a baby and then walked away? We'd put us in jail. They'd call the police on us. Say, you're not fit. That's a baby. That's a helpless baby. And yet many times we're content with just got a few saved, 8 saved at Bible school, got 3 saved. Woo. What about the follow-up? Our church, what about that? They're a baby in Christ. It's new. They've got to be. I mean, there's a roaring lion. You ever watch documentaries about animals? I mean, who does the lion go for? The cheetah, they go for the elderly and the young. They go for those who wander away, who are helpless. The baby in Christ is so susceptible to the devil, not to lose their salvation, but to be ineffective for Christ, to be brought into false doctrine and cults. It's not just salvation is, yes, the main thing, the gospel, but that's definitely not all of it. Take a look at what Paul and Barnabas did here. I'll call him Paul and Barnabas. I know his name is still hasn't completely changed yet. Look at chapter 14, 21 to 23. So basically, that first mission trip is over. They're on their way back. He just got stoned in verse 19. He gets up. He comes into the city. They go to the next city, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel, notice their mission did not change despite the stoning. They did not water anything down. They didn't say, well, we better change what we're doing here because it didn't go out good the last time we went. Nope. We're going to preach the gospel. And it says, but look at verse 21. We usually overlook this. And had taught many. That little sentence there involves hours, weeks, months, and maybe even years. And taught many. That's getting down to Bible doctrine and Bible fundamentals and Bible truth about salvation and sin and forgiveness and prayer and the Bible and giving and holiness and separation. That's not easy. Then it says they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch. That's the same places they'd already been, including the place he was stoned. Verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples. That's not the 12. That's people who've already followed Christ. They're followers. That word confirming means to strengthen, to establish. They returned on their way back. They came back by and stopped by those places where they'd already been, checked on the believers, checked on those disciples who've been growing in the Lord, strengthened them, encouraged them, exhorted them to continue in the faith, verse 22, and that we notice what was their message. Notice this was, is this ever shared when we do discipleship? I'm talking to myself too now. Is this ever, where's the chapter on this? I've got many discipleship books in my office. Soul winning, service, church attendance, prayer, giving, singing, serving, ministering, persecution. Notice what was their message. That through much tribulation, trials, persecutions, opposition, you need to enter in the kingdom of God. Folks, it's, I mean, you tell them that. You don't water it down. I mean, that'll tell you who's really, right? We'll find out if you're really a believer. We're going to find out if you're really ready to follow the Lord or not. Through much tribulation and trial, study church history, study the persecution, study the martyrs. You'll learn a lot. John Wesley said, the church changes the world not by making converts, but by making disciples. Now, you first read that, you may say, I don't agree with that. The church changes the world. We're not saying it's not important to make converts. But not by making converts. If all you do is make a convert, it doesn't change the world. Now, it certainly changes their eternity, that person, but not the world. What changes the world is making disciples. So that's people who follow Christ in every area of their life. And they are a Christ follower, and they impact a large sphere of their city, town, family, school. That's, by the way, read that in the book of Acts, and you'll see that's true. Number 9, we must be done. I got 1 minute. Number 9, this is a long one. Spiritual growth and maturity does not have to take many years. Spiritual growth and maturity does not have to take many years. You can be a spiritual leader in the church right now if you desire to grow and obey God's word. You say, where'd you come up with that at? Take a look at verse 23, chapter 14. And when they had ordained them elders in every church... Huh? Wait a minute. These are churches that they planted. So they went to city by city on the initial trip over months. They went in the church. They preached the gospel. There were believers. They spent hours every day discipling. They established churches. Now as they're coming back from this first trip, they go back to the churches and they ordain elders, which are pastors. You and I would say, well, that can't be done. They got to, you know, you got to spend years in the church. There already were men who had grown in the Lord sufficiently to say, you are now the pastor of this church, the elder, the spiritual leader. We establish it. We set it up. That's what a local church is. Whoa. There's a lot of people that in their back pocket, they keep, well, it's going to take years to grow. I'll never be able. What? Absolutely not. How much time? And they had the Old Testament primarily. They were being established and growing in the Lord. And they'd already ordained spiritual leaders in the church to lead that church in that city. And Paul and Barnabas went on to the next one. They weren't there to sort of help them. All right, number 10 and we're done. Number 10 and we're done. Mission conferences are both for the benefit of the missionary and the church. And what happens at the end of this chapter as we finish it off? Bible says as they're coming back home, verse 25, they had preached the word in Perga. They went down into Attalia and then they sailed to Antioch. Remember, that's where they started. And from thence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. Verse 27, here we go. We could call this maybe the first missions conference or mission report. And when they were come back to where they started and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he'd opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they, Paul and Barnabas, abode a long time with, we could say, the church or with the disciples or with the followers of Jesus Christ. Hey. It's not just for the church, it's for both. The missionaries, they came back, they got the church to assemble. I don't know what day it was. People came, And they didn't have videos. All right, look, hey, look, no, look, whoa, how'd that get in there? That's me being stoned. Barnabas, stop. All right? They didn't have that. They rehearsed. That word rehearsed means to declare, to show. They gave a report. Let me tell you what God has done. Praise God in this city, this first convert. We've already ordained elders. This church is already growing. They're doing a great work there despite opposition. They reported and rehearsed, and you had a part in that. You sent, you prayed, you gave financially. We're so excited. They encouraged and challenged the believers. Wow. Hey, guess what? Missions conference is just a couple days away. Should be the highlight of the year. We should be anticipating it, excited about it, not able to sleep just as much as when we have a giant vacation plan and we can't go to sleep the night before. Oh, man. I mean, the things are laid out. You know how we get prepared for weeks in advance for big trips. We whip up the kids. We talk about it all the time. We have posters and flyers. We get everything out. We buy clothes and gear. We have things laid out. We get the vehicle ready. We get the plans ready. Woohoo! And there's nothing wrong with that, though there's not really eternal values for those. Yet we have the opportunity to impact souls and families and individuals in this church and community with a missions conference. Whoa! We ought to be anticipating it. We ought to be excited. We ought to be praying. We ought to be coming. We ought to be giving. Are you willing to pray, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do this year at this missions conference? Father, take this missions conference coming up. May you be pleased by all that's done. May we love on our missionaries. May we encourage them. May we give prayer support and financial support. May they be encouraged when they come to the church and see the pews filled. Boy, that'll thrill their heart when they see that, hey, there are people excited about missions. There are people who want to hear what God is doing. What an encouragement to their heart we can be simply by being here and being used of you. Now, Lord, we pray we'd be a sending church. We pray we'd be a going church. We pray you'd be honored by all that's done this week. Use it in a great way in Jesus' name. Amen.